Get ready to be transformed, inspired, and supremely blessed as you listen to the Word of God from Pastor AB. Prepare your hearts. You'd never remain the same again. God bless you as you listen.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I noticed last week, I didn't tell you the word for the month. So someone assumed it was month of spiritual understanding. Who agrees? All right, well, when you understand things spiritually, you make progress in life. And every month we are making progress, praise the Lord. At least in your age, you're making progress every month. Right? All right. But for most of us, it's beyond our age. We're making progress in every aspect of our lives, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. All right, so February is the month of progress, okay? Yeah. Praise the Lord. I like how we receive the word, very smart. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. All right, so we talked about spiritual understanding last week and we prayed. And this week we'll talk about spiritual understanding again and we would pray. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Yes. Yes. And last week we ended with Lot. How many of you remember? Lot, the gentleman called Lot. And, you know, we learned that relationships are God's idea. And in life, there are people that, of course, from the get-go, once you're born into this world, God has already placed someone to help you. Do you know that?
Yes, Pastor.
Your parents. If a stranger will not help you, your parents should help you. It gives you an idea of how God planned the world. People exist to help others. If he's going to help you, he's going to use others. And he started with your parents. So by force, they must pay your school fees. Right?
Yes, Pastor.
I mean, if you're talking to a stranger, you'd have to beg, please, please, my school fees, please. But not your parents. They must pay. Why did they bring you to this world? Right? So people, relationships are God's idea, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And at times, beyond your nuclear family, strangers, people you meet in school, you meet in life, you meet in church, God sets them on your path to help you, to assist you. If God has a plan for your life, you can't live your life anyhow. Do you know that? You live your life anyhow, there's no plan. But if there's a plan, you must follow the plan. And so there are people in that plan. And so you can't just decide today, this is my friend, tomorrow is no longer my friend. Next tomorrow, this is my friend. You see, you're wasting time. Because there's a plan. There are people that God has set in your life that you should walk with continuously, like Lot. And we learned last week that Lot walked with his uncle Abraham and he became very wealthy. We don't know what Lot did as business. Chances are he followed his uncle in cattle rearing. Became very wealthy just by following his uncle. God never really talked to him. But immediately he left his uncle, at least from the word of God, the next chapter, problems started. He was kidnapped. He refused to go back. He lost everything. He left his uncle with so much and left Sodom with his life, his wife, two daughters in a cave. And that was where he died. I mean, if no other thing, nothing else tells you the importance of relationship, I think the story of Lot and Abraham should. It should, because this man lost everything. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So I want to continue in that light. Let's see something, a thought that Apostle Peter shared after Jesus' ascension. Go to Acts 1, verse 16. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
Acts 1, verse 16. You know, God has a plan for the world. And in that plan, there are other many plans. The world is a really big place, do you know? You have Nigeria, you have China, you have the US, so many places. And so there are different plans in different places working together to accomplish his main plan. Now, in those plans, there are organizations, different people working together to accomplish God's main plan, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
But In any organization where you have a lot of people working, there has to be a leader. There has to be team leads, and you have workers. Else, there will be dysfunction. You can't have a place where there are two heads. Even on your body, are there two heads? Come and talk to me. Are there two heads?
No.
Just one. One head with the eye to direct. If you have two heads, that's a monster. If you have two heads, who will give the instruction? Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So in every organization, there is one head. Then there are other leaders, and then there are workers. All of these are roles to make them function accurately. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise
the Lord. There are roles. And so when you find yourself in an organization set by God, maybe the church or your workplace, understand, recognize your role and function there the best way. Don't complain. Don't say, if I was a leader now, things would be different. We know. But wait. Be where you are and function there the most excellent way. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So look at this. This is after Jesus had ascended. And Peter is talking with the other disciples. Just look at the screen. Pay attention. Peter is talking. He says, men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. Now, if you were here last week, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
You remember how we showed that before Jesus died, the apostles did not understand he was supposed to die. Do you remember?
Yes, Pastor.
All right. Now he has shown them. He has opened their understanding. Now look at Peter. He's telling you the scripture must needs to be filled. That means now he understands that is according to scripture. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So you see what Jesus did worked.
Yes.
All right. If you are not in service, go and listen to the message. All right. Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake concerning Judas, which was guide to them to do. So he's trying to say that Judas had to betray Jesus. It was according to the scripture. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Verse 17. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
He says, for he was numbered with us. Who is talking about? Judas. He's saying Judas Iscariot was numbered with them. He was among the 12. Judas is such a man. Do you know when Jesus sent the 12 out to preach the gospel, heal the sick, cast out devils, Judas went with them?
Yes.
That means he also healed the sick.
Yes.
He also cast out devils.
Yes.
But he was a thief. Throughout. He was a thief. A thief casting out devils. Not just that. When Jesus walked on water, Judas saw him. And that was the man he still went to betray. All right. So here Peter is saying that. He actually had a part in the ministry. He didn't have to go that road. His name was not mentioned. He could have been any other person. Praise the Lord. He could have been Jesus' brother. There was no scripture that said that to be his disciple. Could have been his cousin. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
Could have been his relative from the village. You know those folks from the village? We're one of them. But Judas was a thief, a greedy man who refused to change, and he just went into Satan's trap. All right. It says, for he was numbered with us and obtained part of this ministry. This is what I want you to see. Peter is saying Judas had a ministry. That means in God's plan, Judas had a part. That's what he's trying to say. Had obtained part. That was before he betrayed Jesus. There was a part for him to play. So this gives us an idea that every one of us has a part to play in God's plan. Now, it depends what you do with that part. But there's a role you should play. There's a role you should function in. And if you don't, or you mess up, he'll give it to someone else. Go to 21. Judas had a part to play. Okay, you know what? Let's finish on that. Go to 17. Let's just read it so that we'll see everything that happened there. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
All right. Are you in this place?
Yes,
it says, for he was numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry. Verse 18. Now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity. Remember, he betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. And falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst. And all his bowels gushed out. That's how he died. He fell down and splat. All right? What happened? He committed suicide. After he saw what he did. You know, he wanted to be smart. He He wanted to betray Jesus. Then his plan was that Jesus would escape because this man can't die. And then he'll come back and ask for forgiveness. He'll keep the money and he'll still be a follower of Jesus. You see? Wisdom of this world. So in his mind, very smart idea. Do you understand? Quick way to make 30 pieces of silver. He didn't know that Jesus was supposed to die. So the Bible says in Matthew 27, when he realized that truly you're about to kill this man, he went to meet the chief priests and dropped the money. He said, I've betrayed innocent blood. And he went and committed suicide. Anyway, what the Bible says is that he hung himself on the tree, but he did not remain there. He fell down. All right? And everything came out. All right? That's why it's not good to be wicked. Verse 19. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And it was known unto all the dwellers at Jerusalem in so much that the field is called in their proper tongue, Al-Kedama, that is to say the field of blood. So everybody knew that was where Judas died. That was where Judas died. So they called it field of blood. Do you understand? Verse 20. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric let another take. 21. That's where I'm going to. Wherefore of these men which have accompanied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, verse 22, beginning from the baptism of John, unto that same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. My point is, everybody has a part to play in God's kingdom. But if you don't function the best way, someone else will get there. And that's what they did. After Jesus ascended, they chose someone else to take Judas's part. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah. And so my point is, God has a plan for your life. There's a role for you in his kingdom. You have a part to play. And he sets people in that part to walk with you. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So I want us to, today, before we pray, look at an example of someone who we can say missed God's plan for his life and ministry because of offense. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So are you ready?
Yes, Pastor.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
All right, so let me start. When the church started, the early church, that means after Jesus' resurrection, all right? People were partnering with the church. Remember, they were together in one place. And when you're together in one place, you need money to survive. You need to buy food. You need to buy, you know, clothing. You need all of those things. So you had different people at different times giving to the church. Some sold their properties and gave to the church. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Others had money somewhere. They brought it. Everybody shared. So the guy that had one cobble brought it. The other one that had 1 million brought it. Do you understand?
Yes,
they were all sharing everything together. Now, while they were sharing, you had a notable man in their midst. And you also had a notable couple in their midst. The couple, the man and his wife, Ananias and Sapphira. And they died because they were trying to cheat God. But I want to talk about the notable man in their midst. Go to Acts 4. Acts 4, verse 36. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
Just follow me, all right? Follow me. It says, and Joseph, that's Joseph, who by the apostles was son named Barnabas. So his original name was not Barnabas. It was Joseph. Which is being interpreted the son of what? Consolation. Meaning that anytime he showed up, they were consoled. If they had an issue and Joseph came, they were consoled. It's like a man who, anytime he comes, he fixes everything. There are some people like that. Maybe your uncle. If the fridge is not working, we just leave it until he comes. You know it will be fixed. So they call him Fixer. Do you understand? That's not his name, but that's what they call him. So Barnabas was not his name, but he was such a son of consolation. Anytime he came, he helped. So the apostles started calling him Barnabas. So look at that. He says, a Levite of the country of Cyprus, verse 37. Having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. You see, it was such a help. Maybe they needed money then. And he had land and sold it and just brought everything. So they said, ah, you are Barnabas. Praise the Lord. Go to verse. Okay, this is good. All right? So this is the man I want to talk about. He was such a good man. It takes something to realize that people need money or they need help, and you sell your property and give everything. So they were so impressed with him. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
All right. So we learn about Barnabas before we learn about someone else called Saul, who went around trying to kill the brethren, trying to arrest them. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
But Barnabas comes first. The apostles, the church knew him. They knew him. This was a good guy. Do you understand? This was a guy that helped. Now, verses, chapters later, Jesus appears to Saul. And Saul gets converted and begins to preach that Jesus is Lord in Damascus. And they nearly kill him, so he escapes. He goes to Jerusalem and he tries to join the brethren. Remember, when Stephen was killed, Saul was there, consenting to his death. And the Bible says he went from house to house, taking Christians and arresting them. Now, if someone like that, who you know, visits churches to arrest people there, then one day he comes and says, I've changed, I'm one of you. Would you agree? Come on, talk to me. Would you agree? Are you in this place? Would you agree? You say he's a spy. If as he's coming, everybody is catching. Go to Acts 9. Are you guys in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
Acts 9, verse 26. Look at it. It says, and when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he assayed to join himself to the disciples. So he tried. But they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was disciples. Nobody would convince them. This wicked man, no way. He came to spy. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Verse 27. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. That means he believed Paul. Do you understand? He was such a good man. He took him. Now remember, Paul needed someone to vouch for him. And whoever will vouch for him has to be a good man that everybody trusts. And Barnabas was that man. Because they even nicknamed him Son of Consolation. Praise the Lord. So Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord. It's Barnabas that is telling them what happened. Not Paul. So Barnabas is telling them that he saw the Lord in the way and the Lord spoke to him and he preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. So Barnabas is vouching for Paul. Such a good man, isn't he? So it was the one who now introduced Paul to the church. Verse 28. And he was with them coming in and going out at Jerusalem. Thanks to who? Such a good man. All right. Then later on, not just that, he would be the one to establish Paul in his first ministry as a pastor in a church. This is Barnabas. Go to Acts 11. Acts 11, verse 19. He must have been really good for the apostles to take his word. Do you understand?
Yes, Pastor.
All right, 19. Now, they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen, traveled as far as Phoenix and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. Verse 20. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. Verse 21. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Now, all the apostles were in Jerusalem, but some Christians had traveled out and went and started preaching. Some preached to only Jews, but others started preaching to people who were not Jews. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
And they noticed that when they preached to people who were not Jews, a lot of them believed. So, verse 22. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem. Meaning that the church in Jerusalem started hearing that over at Antioch, a lot of people are believing. A lot of people are becoming Christians. And guess who they sent? Barnabas. That he should go as far as Antioch. Verse 23. Just follow me, all right? Just listen to me. 23. Who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. Verse 24. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. You see, I've been saying he was a good man since. Look at it. This is the spirit of God's testimony. Can God say that about you? That you're a good man. You're a good woman. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So see what God is saying about Barnabas. Say he was a good man, full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. And when he got there, much people was added unto the Lord. That means he helped the work. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Verse 25. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek who Saul. Immediately he saw the church and it was growing. He said, I have to look for Paul. So Paul was always on his mind. Are you seeing that? He was the one who introduced Paul to the apostles. Now he's the one going to establish Paul in the church. Verse 26. And when he had found him, he brought him onto Antioch, you know, then they didn't have social media. So he couldn't tweet, please find Paul, retweet. Couldn't do that. He had to go there and look for him from place to place and found him. He brought him onto Antioch, and it came to pass that a whole year, they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. That means their ministry was so good. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Are you in this place?
Yes,
I'm talking about Barnabas. All right?
Yes,
and Paul. Barnabas was a good man who was helping Paul in ministry. So at this point, you could say Barnabas was sort of Paul's senior friend or mentor. Are you seeing that? Because
yes,
the one helping Paul. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So it's no surprise when the Holy Ghost decides. When we begin to see, go to Acts 13, verse 1. I told you, God has a plan for your life. And in that plan, he has people. Now we are seeing how Barnabas is influential in Paul's life. So it should surprise nobody that actually God had planned for Paul and Barnabas to work together. Acts 13, verse 1. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Let's read it together, because you're all so quiet. Want to go.
Now.
Stop. These were prophets and what? Teachers. And he names them Barnabas, Simeon, Lucius, Manaen, Saul. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
All right? Okay, verse 2. Want to go? As a minister to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have what? So the Holy Ghost says, separate me, Barnabas and who? Saul. He says, I have a special plan for their life. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
They're supposed to work together. That's what he's saying here. He's saying, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. Meaning that right from the start, this is the Holy Ghost, God himself. So God is saying from the start, he had planned that Barnabas and Saul would work together. And all the while Barnabas was, he was the one bringing Saul to Barnabas' mind. Are you seeing that? Because the plan was that they would work together as a team. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So he said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul. He didn't mean divide them. He means separate them apart. For the work whereunto I have called them. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Verse 3. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So now Paul and Barnabas begin to work together. All right? In the ministry that God has planned for them. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. All right. Go to 15 verse 36. So they're on their missionary journey and they take someone to help them. His name is John. But by 15 verse 36... Go to 13 verse 13, sorry. By 13 verse 13, something happens. 13. Acts 13 verse 13. Now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. God called Paul and Barnabas to walk in ministry, but they took someone to help them. But you see, as they were going, maybe John thought after two cities, we'll come back home. But they didn't stop. The second city, they didn't stop. The third one, they didn't stop. I remember in all the cities, they nearly killed them. One day, John just disappeared. Said, I'm not doing it again. He went back home. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
But they continued. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
They continued. They finished their journey. They returned home. Just follow the gist, okay?
Yes,
all right. Now, go to 15, verse 36. After they have returned home from their first missionary trip, Paul has an idea. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
Please just follow me. And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. So let's do follow up. Do you understand?
Yes, Pastor.
Let's do visitation. It's not enough to just win the soul. You have to go and visit them and find out how they are doing. So Paul brings the idea to Barnabas and says, hey, let's go and see them. Let's travel back again. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
All right? The first time we went to preach. But now let's go and do follow up. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Verse 37. And remember, he's talking to Barnabas because God had said it was both of them that walked together. There were other people there. It was a big church. But when God says he's the person you're working with, you don't argue with him. You follow God's instruction. Verse 37. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark, verse 38. Remember that John?
Yes, Pastor.
He was the one that was going with them and gave up after some few cities. All right?
Yes,
but now, Paul is saying, let's go again. And Barnabas said, let's take John. He was determined, meaning saying, I'm not going until this guy goes with us. That's a problem. Let me tell you why before we go on. When God called Paul and Barnabas, he didn't mention John. At his best, John was a helper. Do you understand?
Yes, Pastor.
But it was not part of God's plan. So someone that was not mentioned as fundamentally part of God's plan should not be a determinant whether you're doing God's work or not. Do you understand that?
Yes, Pastor.
He shouldn't determine whether you do it or not. It is the person that God mentioned that you should hold on to, not the guy that you just said, let us carry and go. But, so you can see from verse 37, Barnabas already missing the point here.
Yes.
Because he's being determined to take someone that God didn't mention. And he's making it that taking that person is a criterion for him to go. Which is wrong. Because God never mentioned John, even though he was a good man. Never did. Verse 38. But Paul thought not good to take him with them who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the world. So Paul said, we can't take this guy. He's unreliable. Which is common sense. If we're working with you and after two cities you go, why would I take you again? But Barnabas was determined. Are you seeing the issue here?
Yes,
you're seeing that problem is coming where there should be no problem. And who is the cause of the problem? Come on, talk. Who is the cause of the problem? It's not Paul now. It's Barnabas. Because he's insisting to take someone that, number one, you can't even say this guy was very good the last time we went. All right? You can't even say that. All right. Verse 39. Are you following me?
Yes, Pastor.
Please follow me. Verse 39. And the contention was so sharp between them. That means he started with, please, let's go. Then they started arguing. And then he said it was so sharp. Meaning that they started raising their voices. Everybody knew. Because of one person, John, that was not even part of God's plan. Barnabas is insisting, we must take this boy. Paul said, no, fight. Look at it. And the contention was so sharp. How can there be a sharp contention when it was clear from the onset that God wanted them to work together? They should not have argued. But you see, these things can happen. Because God says you're supposed to work with one person doesn't mean arguments won't come up. At times, from nowhere. No point. You have a man and his wife, they're arguing. Why? Toothpaste. I've seen it. It's true. The type of toothpaste. The man wants close-up. They say Colgate. Okay. The man says, let's buy the two. They say, we can't waste money. You looking from outside, you're wondering, are these people playing? But they're serious. Then the lady says, that's how it does. Problem from nowhere. But you see, it's funny, but that little seed has the potential to destroy the marriage. You'll be amazed. Now it's close up. The lady starts remembering when it was chair. She wanted green chair, wanted blue. She allowed him. When it was bed, she wanted big bed, wanted small, she allowed him. Why can't he allow toothpaste? He's stubborn. He doesn't agree. She's doubting his love. She's going to her mother's house. When you find out the issue, you hear it's toothpaste. Look at this one. What's the issue here? A boy that left them. That is why, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Do you know what so sharp means? It means they scatter the place with arguments. Over where, not that they should go or not, but who should follow them. He says, and the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. They went their separate ways. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Can you see, hear me?
Yes, Pastor.
They went their separate ways. And so Barnabas took Mark, that's John, and went to Cyprus. He didn't go for the day. He went to preach. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
He was so angry. So angry. He took Mark and left. Left the church with anger going to do God's work. Who told him to take Mark? When the Holy Ghost talked, do you remember? He said, separate Barnabas and Saul. Not Barnabas and Mark. Who told him to take Mark? Where is he going to? Not the moon like that. In the church, they teach the word. Then there's an argument with the pastor. They leave. They take their unit members. They're going to start their own church. Can they not preach to Barnabas? Because they're angry. That is the cause of his separation. Anger. Okay. Verse 40. Can you hear me? And Paul chose Silas. So Paul had no choice. Notice, it's Barnabas that left. Paul was still there. So he chose someone. He had to go with somebody. And departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. So he didn't just leave angrily. He told the brethren, we are going. They prayed for them and they left. Who was more sensible? Are you in this place? Who was more sensible? Paul. And remember, Jesus, all right? Called Paul specifically for the Gentiles. So if there's somebody who had that ministry, fundamentally it was Paul. Barnabas was supposed to help. In fact, in their first missionary trip, you realize that it was Paul that was doing the talking. Barnabas was there as an assistant. Meaning that actually, Barnabas should not have left Paul. All right, verse 40. And Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. Go to 16, verse 1. Then came he to them. Who is the boy talking about? Paul. And Lystra. And then he found Timothy. So anytime you think about Paul, now you hear Timothy or Silas. Hardly does anybody mention Barnabas. When you read the whole of the book of Acts, from that point, nobody mentioned Barnabas again. But he was preaching. Are you in this place? He was preaching. It wasn't like he went on vacation. Or he said, I'm not doing. He went to preach. He went to do follow-up. But there is no mention of Barnabas again. The only person God sheds light on is Paul and his work. So even if Barnabas thought he was doing what God wanted, he was dealing with the wrong person at the wrong place. And so there was no mention. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
He missed spiritual, divine relationship because of anger. Because of something that was not even part of the plan. He was the one who was off. Because he was the one setting conditions that God did not set to do God's work. And throughout, listen, when you read the Bible and you read the book of Acts and you see all the accomplishments of Paul, you should have been Paul and Barnabas. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
When you read chapter 17, chapter 18, you should have been Paul and Barnabas. Paul and Barnabas. But Barnabas left, not knowing. He should have known. Because it was clear he was disobeying God. Because God was clear from chapter 13 that the person he was supposed to walk with was Paul. In life, don't let anger cause you to miss God's plan for your life. Or anger cause you to ruin supernatural relationships. Let me tell you another one before we pray. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
Now look at Barnabas. A man who had a ministry. God called, you know, people who just go and start preaching because they love God. Do you understand? They go and start doing it because they love God. For this one, the Spirit of God was clear. He said, look, I have a work for you. for you and Paul. But he introduced something that should not have been there, made an issue out of it, left, and that was the end. The end. Even though he was a good man, even though he was a son of consolation, that was the end. Wonderful. Wonderful. Are you in this place?
Yes.
Wonderful. I want to show you something else, like I said, before we pray. From the man called Moses. And let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 3. Deuteronomy chapter 3. There's some people that left home. Why? They were angry because of what their mother said or their father said. Now they are in one city. And things aren't even going well for them. But pride will not let them go back and apologize. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Who is the ancestor? Barnabas. Because they're angry. Why are you here as we are talking? I want you to remember, if there are such cases, people that you have stopped communicating with because of anger, and then ask yourself, what is the cause of that anger? At times when you analyze it, it is something very minute. It was the way they answered your text message you didn't like, and you cut them off. It was something they said as a joke you didn't like, and you cut them off. But God has a plan for your life. You don't just do things on your own accord. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
You don't. If there's a plan for your life, you have to follow the master planner. If he has brought people into your life, you don't just leave them. That is so strange. You don't just wake up and say, I'm not doing it again. I'm gone. Of course not. They are fundamental to your destiny. You don't know what God's plan is. You don't know how far he has planned for you. So you don't be like Barnabas. And one thing you learn too, and we'll see it here. You don't make important decisions when you're angry. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
Say this. Say, I will not make
important decisions
when I'm angry.
Don't
do that. You know, there's a booklet I released, and you guys will get it soon in church. For some of you have seen it already. How that there are people who, they start dating someone, all right, courting, and it doesn't work out. And immediately go and look for the next person to cut. Just to prove to that person that they've moved on. Have you seen people like that?
Yes, Pastor.
Many. Many. Just to prove that they can survive without those people. Ruining their life and another person's life. To make a point. Let me tell you something. It doesn't matter how successful it looks in your eyes. If you do anything trying to make a point to people, you're in the wrong place. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
Jesus said, I receive not honor from men. He said, I seek the honor that comes from God only. That's what Jesus said. So if you're doing stuff to make people think you have arrived, you're already in the wrong boat. It doesn't matter how good it looks. The foundation is wrong. It's wrong. Barnabas, angry, thought, is it not ministry? Is it not preaching? I can preach too. And he went. But that was the end. All right. Moses. Let's listen to Moses. He said something very nice I want us to see before we pray. Verse 23. Moses is the one talking in Deuteronomy. He's the one talking. All right? Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
All right. Are you listening to the word? All right, verse 23. And I besought the Lord at that time. Moses is talking. So I begged God, saying, verse 24, quick now. Oh, Lord God, thou hast begun to show thy servant thy greatness and thy mighty hand. For what God is there in heaven or in earth that can do according to thy works and according to thy might? So he's praying to God. Verse 25, he's praising God. You understand?
Yes, Pastor.
Because he wants to ask for something. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
All right, so he's cajoling God. Okay. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And there are people like that. They come and say, ah, you look so great today. Wonderful. I just like the way you sat down. And then he said, what is it? You already know they want to ask for something. So here, 25, he says, I pray thee, he's begging, let me go over and see the good land that is beyond Jordan, that goodly mountain and Lebanon. So here he's praying to God to please. He wants to see the promised land. Verse 26. But the Lord was wroth with me. For your sakes, he's talking to the children of Israel before he dies. And he says, listen, I prayed to God, I begged him that I want to see the promised land. But because of you people, God was angry with me and would not hear me. And the Lord said unto me, let it suffice thee. Speak no more. In other words, shut up. He's saying what God told him. He was begging God, and God says, enough. I don't want to hear it again. Keep quiet. Verse 27. Get thee up into the top of Pisgah and lift up thine eyes westward and northward and southward and eastward and behold it with thine eyes. For thou shalt not go over this Jordan. So he's saying he begged God that he wants to see the promised land. And God said, keep quiet, not talk again. What you can do is that you can look at it from afar. So go there, but you're not going to enter. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So what happened? Why didn't Moses enter the promised land? After he had brought the children of Israel out. And here he's blaming the children of Israel. He's saying it's your cause. If they are the ones responsible, they should be the ones not to enter, not him. Meaning that the story is not really complete. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
It's not really complete. So let's hear the full story. We have heard Moses' side. All right? So let's hear the whole gist. Go to Exodus. Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
Exodus. Chapter 17. My God is a good God. 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 Thank you for agreeing with me about my God. Praise the Lord. I don't know the word people are saying now. Exodus 17 verse 3. He is a good God. All right. He says, now they have left Egypt, the tree of Israel, and they are on their way to the promised land. So something happens. And the people tested there for water. That means they became thirsty. Remember, they're in the wilderness. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And the sun is hot. And the people murmured against Moses and said, these people are so ungrateful. He said, wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with us? Anytime they had a little issue with Moses, they remembered Egypt. Every time. They always said their life was better in Egypt, which was not true.
Mm-hmm.
In Egypt, they were slaves. But they always used that to blackmail Moses.
Yeah.
So here, it's just they're just testing. They've been traveling since and they had water. One period, no water, and they're reminding Moses. They're accusing him that he brought him out of Egypt to kill them. Verse 4. And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, what shall I do unto these people? They be almost ready to stone me. This was serious. They were ready to kill him. On top water. Verse 5. And the Lord said unto Moses, go on before the people and take with thee of the elders of Israel and thy rod, wherewith thou smotest the river. Take in thine hand and go. So God says, go with the elders. Verse 6. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of who? Israel. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Please listen to me, all right? Pay attention, okay? The people wanted water. And Moses cried to God. And God said, all right, there's a rock in Horeb. Go there, use your rod. Knock it, hit it, and water will come out. The water was not inside the rock. That was a miracle from God.
Yes.
He brought water out of a rock. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
You would think you'd say, all right, rain will fall now. That's easier to do, isn't it?
Yes.
But he wanted to prove a point. That's why he said, take the elders. Let them see what I can do. He's trying to tell them, even if you don't see clouds of rain, water can come out from anywhere. As long as I am there, I can provide from anywhere. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So he said, go and strike the rock. Water will come out. And Moses did so. He struck the rock and water came out enough to quench the thirst of over 600,000 men. What water? from that rock. That was a miracle, praise the Lord. You would think these people would get the message. They kept traveling until they got to a point where they didn't have water again. Guess what they did? Go to Numbers. Numbers 20, verse 2. Numbers 20, verse 2. Isn't it amazing? There's a book in the Bible called Numbers. How about alphabets? All right, verse 2. This is another instance. And there was no water for the congregation, and they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron. They had forgotten what happened previously. You would think, after the first example, because God said, do it in their presence. See what I can do. Are you in this place?
Yes,
it was not in secret. He said, show them that out of a rock I can bring out water. So now they are thirsty again. You would think they'll say, Moses, do that thing again. Let water come out. No. Look at it. They started plotting against Moses, against Aaron. Verse 3. This is going to be long. And the people showed with Moses. That means they started accusing him and spake, saying, would God that we had died when our brethren died before the Lord. He said, we wish we had died. Verse 4. And why have you brought up the congregation of the Lord into this wilderness, that we and our cattle should die there? Verse 5. And wherefore have you made us to come up out of Egypt again? They mention Egypt again. Are you seeing this, folks?
Yes,
to bring us into this evil place. It is no place of seed or figs or vines or pomegranates or pomegranates. Neither is there any water to drink. They are complaining, say, this place is not a garden. You brought us to a wilderness from Egypt. At least they had garden in Egypt. Verse 6. And most, you know, there are people like that. There are people like that. Maybe they became Christians and they have a business and they are doing things the right way. But immediately they are no customers. They start remembering the time when they were in the world. Did they not have money? If they're in the world. It's not 1-2-1-2, they would have gotten 50K by now. They're like this tree of Israel. If you're like that in this place, you better change. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
It says, and Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly unto the door of the tabernacle of congregation, and they fell upon their faces, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto them. Verse 7. So they went to complain to God. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Just listen to me. All right? So God speaks to Moses. He says, take the rod and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother. I said, call an assembly, call everybody. All right? And speak ye unto the rock before their eyes. So he's saying the same thing, do the same thing. You know, there's a month, we call month of possibilities. That if Jesus did a miracle, he can do it again. Do you understand? And again and again. So here's an example. All right? So God tells Moses, all right. At this point, God wasn't upset. He said, call them. All right? Call them and speak to the rock. All right? Before their eyes. And he shall give forth his water. And thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock, so thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts drink. Verse 9. And Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded him. Verse 10. And Moses, and now remember, this time there's a slight change in the commandment. Did you notice?
Yes.
The first time God said, take the rod and beat the rock, and water would come out. The second time, he says, speak to the rock. Not beat the rock, speak to it. All right?
Yes, Pastor.
Okay. Verse 10. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock, and he said unto them, hear now, you rebels. Now, Moses is angry. Because when God talked, he wasn't angry. He said, this is what you do. Do you understand? And water would come out. But Moses comes and he adds his own. Hear now, you rebels. Must we fetch you water out of this rock? God told him, meet the people, talk to the rock, water will come out. Moses starts with a speech and a question. He says, must we fetch you water out of this rock? Verse 11. And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod, he smote the rock twice, and water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beasts were also. Listen, at this point, Moses was angry with them. And understandably so. These people were annoying. They were always threatening him. always threatening to kill him because they know they were a lot and it was just one man, and Aaron. Always. So now, he says, listen, must we do this again? So he beats the rock with anger and water actually came out. Verse 12. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron. Now God talks to them. He says, because you believe me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. This is the point where God told Moses and Aaron, you're not entering the promised land. Why? Because God said, speak to the rock, not beat the rock. And I think the fact that God wanted all of Israel to see what was happening meant that it was symbolic and for a purpose. The first time he said, strike the rock, and water came out. The second time he says, call all of them together and talk to the rock. Let them learn something. This time, you don't beat, you talk, and water would come out. But Moses was so angry, he added his own. And with anger, he did what? He beat the rock, and water came out. Missed his destiny. Didn't enter the promised land. Why? Anger. Just like Barnabas, anger. That was the issue. So when you hear him in Deuteronomy saying it's for your sake, that's why I didn't enter. Not really. It was his anger at that point that prevented him. What was so special about beating the rock and speaking to the rock? If he had spiritual understanding, he would have known that God was trying to teach the people a very important lesson. Go to 1 Corinthians 10. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
At times God tells you to do something. God tells you, go and meet that brother and preach to him. As you're going, someone nearly makes you fall. You start arguing with that person. I can't you say sorry? The person looks at you. Did you fall? But say sorry. Am I a joke to you? I don't blame you. And then you go. You don't preach anymore. Why? Because you're so angry. You think God should understand. There are tormentors in this place. But you don't know God's perfect plan. You don't know the whole story. Anger. So what was special about that rock? Now we come over to the New Testament section. And Paul tells us a secret about that rock. Verse 1. Do you want to know?
Yes, Pastor.
Verse 1. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Are you in this place?
Yes, Pastor.
So I'm making progress.
I'm making progress.
It says, moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant, how that all our fathers were under the cloud and passed through the sea. So he's talking about them, the Israelites of old. Verse 2. And we are all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Now he's trying to tell you that the cloud and the sea that they passed wasn't just crossing the sea, there was a purpose, but that's not where we're going to. Verse 3. And did all eat the same spiritual meat. Verse 4. And did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock. So that rock that was following them, it was the same rock. Think about it. That followed them. And that rock was who?
Christ.
I want to read this again. He says, and did all drink the same spiritual drink. That's our water. That water that was coming out of the rock. Alright? And did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank. Now remember, the things that happened in the Old Testament were examples and symbols of God's plan and purposes for the world. For example, they sacrificed the lamb. Do you understand? They gave a burnt offering. They gave a sin offering. All of that were examples of what Jesus would do. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Now he tells you that that rock was a spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Meaning that when God told Moses to beat the rock the first time, there was a lesson there. And when he said, speak to the rock the second time, there was a lesson there. What was the lesson? Jesus was to be beaten once. He died once. Are you in this place?
Yes,
he died once. So men could access God. Now that he has died and he has risen, you speak to him. You now have fellowship with the Father. Are you seeing that?
Yes,
he's no longer beaten to get anything from God. No, now there is fellowship. And that was what God wanted to show the children of Israel. That a time would come, you would not force a relationship. You would talk and I would answer you. You know, the first time, they needed Moses' rod to get water. If the rod was not there, then no water. Are you seeing that? But now the second time, he's telling them, you don't need the rod. All you need is your word. Just talk and I would answer you. But Moses, because of anger, missed it. And that's why God said, you didn't sanctify me in their eyes. Meaning you didn't show me truly to them. You didn't show a time would come that all they need to do is to talk and they'll get results. You didn't show them. He said, for that, you have missed it. But all of this to say that anger, when you're angry, the Bible says anger does not work the righteousness of God. Do you know what that means? It means the anger of man, when you're angry, you can never do the right thing. For sure. You make mistakes. And some of those mistakes might be detrimental to your destiny. But if you have spiritual understanding, and that is the theme for today's service, you would understand that peradventure I am angry. That means I should not make a decision based on this anger right now. Are you seeing that? I should go somewhere and cool off and calm down and relax. It will take 2 days. At times you're angry about something and the next day you remember it again. And you start responding as though the person is there. The next day you remember it again. Wait until you have calmed down. No, you have that teacher, the child came. Brought, submitted something, 1 + 1, he says apple 3. And the teacher has corrected him before, over and over and over again, he says apple 3. Now the teacher takes him, beats him, he faints. Then dies. What's in front for that teacher? Prison. What caused it? And the person's destiny has just changed. In a few minutes. Oh, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
In a few minutes. Let me tell you something. In a few minutes, things can change. For the better or for the worse. It may not be obvious at that time. But things can change. But if you walk with spiritual understanding, you will be sensitive enough to know that this thing might influence something. Let me calm down. Are you in this place? Spiritual understanding. If you have spiritual understanding, you will not just leave that person because you're angry. You go and calm down. Because anger doesn't work the righteousness of God. With anger, you not try to prove a point. Is it that I cannot fix the laptop? I can fix the laptop, then you break the laptop. Why? Because you're angry. And you've proved the point for sure. Anger doesn't work the righteousness of God. Spiritual understanding. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I want us to pray now. Go to Colossians 4, verse 12. You see, all of these things we've been sharing, you realize that people's destinies were thwarted because of little basic stuffs. There was a point where it happened. It didn't just happen. For Lot, it was a point where he said, bye, uncle, that things got worse. For Peter, it was a point where he struck the servant's ear, that things got worse. For Barnabas, it was a point where he mentioned, John must go with me, that things got worse. For Moses, it was a point where he said, must we fetch water out of the rock, that things got worse. At that point, they didn't know that in a few minutes, they will make decisions that will influence their lives forever. They had no clue. But it did. So we're going to pray. He says, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluted you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. You know what this means? It means when the will of God is exposed to you, you'll be perfect in it, meaning that you'll be matured, and you'll be complete, meaning that you'll be satisfied with the will of God. God spoke to Moses and said, speak to the rock. He should have found satisfaction there. Are you seeing that? He should have said, if God said speak, I will speak even though I'm angry. I will do what God has said. God told Barnabas and Paul that he had called them together for the ministry. Barnabas should have found satisfaction there. He should have been complete in all the will of God to know that even if John doesn't come, this is God's will, I'm going to stay there. Even if I don't feel like it, even if I'm not happy right now, I'll remain in God's will. He says, the this is what Epaphras was praying for the church at Colossae. He says, you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Meaning that when you know the will of God, you'll be complete in it. Anger will not make you get dissatisfied with the will of God. You'll not be so angry, start asking God, this thing that you even said, I'm not sure I want to do it. You'll not get to that point in your life. But at every point in your life, you'll be perfect. His soul says, why are you not going there? He said, no, that is not God's will for my life. I am satisfied here. Are you in this place? They said, everybody is traveling, one, two, three. He said, no, I'm satisfied where I am right now. He says, you stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. They can see a lot of people are doing this and they're all Christians. No, but I know God's will for my life and I'm going to stay there. He said, can't you see the way this person is treating you? Why don't you say, no, I know God's will for my life and I'm satisfied there. That's a prayer. I want us to pray now. Stand up on your feet. Because somebody, are you in this place? Progress in the eyes of man is not the same as progress in the eyes of God. I wish you would get that. Man's yardstick of success and progress is not God's yardstick. It is not. John the Baptist was in the wilderness for over 30 years before he became revealed to Israel. For 30 years, people would have wondered, what is this man doing in the wilderness? Can't you see how other people are succeeding? But God had a plan for his life. There is the perfect will of God for you based on your relationships, the people you should meet, the places you should go. You don't let outside forces, outside influences, or internal forces like anger take you out of that place. When you go out, man can say, you know, you are actually doing well without that person. But you see, it is not man that puts you here, it is God. So pray now. Pray in the name of Jesus. I stand perfect and fully satisfied.